The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
I promised we'd stick with sport, not the golf though, because Eoin Sheehan is with me from Off the Ball. We might talk briefly about the Women's Rugby World Cup in a moment, because we had Fiona Hayes and Alison Miller on a little bit earlier. But we might start with the football and Hamir Hallgrimsson, who's got the backing of the FAI.
He's not going to get sacked, which I think nobody expected anyway.
No.
Like it was
is this your sign though, your days are numbered when any organisation has to confirm that they're not going to sack you?
The dreaded vote of confidence from David Carell coming out earlier. Eamon Dunphy said earlier in the week, let's just get rid of the dentist now. What do we have to lose? But if you get rid of the dentist now, it's John O'Shea back in interim charge again. It's like a constant revolving door of seemingly not great stuff happening on the sideline. Like obviously Hamer is not without blame from what happened in Armenia on Tuesday. I would be surprised if he was Ireland manager in 2026. We have to remind ourselves as well that this campaign is incredibly quick. So the likelihood is that this is all going to be over by November and his contract ends at the end of this campaign. So like, what are you going to do? Sack him now, have to give him a payout for the sake of 3 months, 2 months work. So like, this is not the hot take that people think it is, that David Carell backing Hamir Hallgrimsson. It's a business decision. It makes sense. It took them, whatever, a year to get Hamir into the job in the first place. How long will it take the organisation to find a successor for Hamir? It could take just as long. So John Martin is just in the job as director of football at the FAI as well. That job was vacant up until this week. So there's lots of moving parts at boardroom level at the FAI as well. So finding a new manager is the last thing they need.
Is there any way, I mean, he saves his job by kind of turning this around and winning every game in the campaign and doing the double against Portugal, home and away, and we qualify. Right, that's one way. Is there a way he saves his job by just improving the performance? Because I think that's, you know, what most people felt so dejected by was even when we were losing to Armenia, you'd imagine that we would have been all over them. You know, the pressure would have been on them. And actually, Armenia could have knocked in two or three more goals. That's the reality of it.
They should have done. I don't think so. I think it was always a short-term deal. And I think it was qualification and then we'll talk. I don't think it's ever a sense of this is a long-term project under this man. It should be a long-term vision from the FAI standpoint. But I think it's pretty clear they went through a whole host of different candidates who would not take the job, who were not interested. Maybe the FAI could not afford them. And they ended up with Hamir Hallgrimsson. They gave him a short-term contract to try and make it a little bit of a safer move. And this is why they offered him a safer contract, because it could have all ended in tears, which it seems like it is going to do. Now, of course, they can still qualify. Armenia could go and beat Hungary and Ireland could beat Armenia at home. And look, you can do the permutations in your head for now. We'll know a lot more in October. Like since Tuesday, whatever, 3 days on, I think we all feel a little bit more positive about it. But like, you couldn't feel any more negative after Tuesday. It was the nadir as an Ireland football fan.
Yeah, it was pretty miserable. The Premier League, though, just after this international break, is back this weekend. And the pick of the litter is probably the Manchester Derby, is it?
That is. It's at the Etihad on Sunday at 4:30. A game you'll hear live on News Talk Radio on Off the Ball. So Manchester United probably happy enough for the international break to come along when it did. They were lucky enough to beat Burnley at home in the last game before the break, which obviously came on the back of the Grimsby results. Manchester City, though, seem to be taking their malaise from last season right into this year. And the questions around whether or not Pep Guardiola can actually take a team from a position where they look, you know, top four, top five, back to the top again is one of the big questions that are going to be asked of Manchester City this season. They obviously made a host of signings over the course of the summer and since January as well. So it is still this new squad, but they still seem like they're strangers playing together. They were beaten by Brighton the last day out. The one thing about Manchester City is that Rodri is clearly not 100% fit just yet. It's going to take him a few weeks to get into it. And if Liverpool maybe cede a bit of ground, or if they slip up a little bit and Manchester City are still within 6-7 points at the turn of the year, you absolutely give them every chance, because I think things will click into gear in the second half of this season.
What about United? I mean, what does Amorim have to do? What's the mountain he has to climb to save his job?
Yeah, it is. Like it is a mountain, and I think he's probably been written off in terms of being able to climb that. I think if they lose on Sunday, it's not going to be detrimental to him, because it is one of the toughest fixtures in English football. But they could lose in a demoralising way, like they have often done against Manchester City in previous years. if he gets sacked next week, for example, look, it's always a live possibility with Amorim at the moment. It's not going to be because of what happens this weekend. It's because of what happened against Grimsby or what happened in the Europa League final at the end of last season. I think most people will be surprised, maybe, certainly after the Grimsby game, if he'd make it to Christmas. That being said, I'm not prepared to write him off just yet. I think some of the new signings look really good. I think Kunyan and Bumo, their new attackers, look really good. I think Šeško could potentially bang in a few between now and Christmas as well. It's just midfield that's such a big problem for them.
Lots of people will have an eye on the Emirates as well, and not because of Arsenal, though.
Yeah, former Tottenham manager Ange Postecoglou going to the Emirates tomorrow in the early kickoff at 12:30. He's now the Nottingham Forest manager. Nuno Espirito Santo was sacked earlier this week. And Ange is a bit of a mad appointment, really, if we take all that we know. So Ange Postecoglou was basically the biggest underachiever as a manager in the Premier League last season, alongside the Manchester United pair that managed at Old Trafford. So he's joined first. The biggest overachiever as a manager last season in the Premier League was probably Nuno Espirito Santo with Nottingham Forest. So,
but he had a personal falling out with the owner.
Which doesn't help. And Ange Postecoglou's style of play seems to be mental, where he plays this high line where there is no practicality to how a Tottenham Hotspur team under him played. Now, I say seems because in the last few weeks of last year, there was a strange situation where Tottenham just played a different way. They sat a little bit deeper. The game against United in the Europa League, people remember, was a terrible defensive affair. So maybe Ange will come and park the bus at Nottingham Forest and he's just abandoned all of the first season principles from Tottenham.
Exciting times at the Emirates yesterday as Forest turned up and parked the bus. Then the rugby, Alice Miller and Fiona Hayes, neither of them wanted to say it out loud, but they were both giving France the win.
Yeah,
on Sunday.
I think last Sunday has punctured expectations suitably. Maybe when the injury started to come in at the start of the summertime, that's probably when the
expectations... Now, even Wafer is back, so that's a kind of a boost to the squad. But it was always going to be an uphill struggle against the French. And having been hammered by New Zealand last weekend, it does make it seem slightly steeper.
And look, the thing is, we haven't seen the full power of Aoife Wafer in her career yet. She hasn't hit her peak yet, so maybe she is the type of person who, not 100% fit, will be able to put 14 women on her back and actually cruise the victory against the French. But it's been a long time since Ireland had beaten them. 2017 was the last time they'd beaten France, so none of these players know what it's like to beat them. The only thing is that they've been getting closer every year and the margins have been getting tighter against France. They were hammered 3 years ago. They gave a decent account of themselves in Le Mans last year in the Six Nations, and they were narrowly beaten this year. But the problem is Ireland are worse now than they were in the Six Nations this year because of the personnel that they've lost due to injury, and their best player is only coming back. So it would be the shock of the tournament if Ireland were to win on Sunday. But it's not one of those that you don't watch. You watch this just in case. You give them a 10% chance.
All right, 10%. It's the hope that kills you, though. Owen Sheehan from Off the Ball will be with you after 7 o'clock.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.